Hi, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of the Combi Day podcast. I'm your host, Subi Sadeh. On this episode, I was joined by Jim Freese, who's the CEO of RX360, a member-driven consortium dedicated to ensuring supply chain integrity, material quality, and patient safety. In this episode, Jim sheds light on the critical aspects of audits in medtech and pharma, and he walks through the joint audit program that his consortium rolled out years ago. Jim also discusses some of the challenges that face our industries that are being worked on by RX360. We end off by delving into the vital role of relationship building and the quest for clarity and simplification within our industry. I really hope you enjoy this episode with Jim. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please give the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on. And with that, here is Jim. After recording the intro, I did want to also note that a couple of you have reached out to me to give warm words of affection, your enjoyment of the show, but also to give me constructive feedback. I did want to say I really appreciate that feedback. I mentioned it in the trailer and in other places that I do this show to help me gain my own mastery. But as always, I do like that it's I want to make it worth people's while who listen. So if you have any feedback for me, don't hesitate to reach out. You can reach out via LinkedIn, or there's an intake form on the website, letscombinate.com. I'd love to hear from you. And in any way, shape, or form I can improve the show, just shoot me a message. I really appreciate it. And with that, here's the episode. Hello, Combi Nation. My name is Subi Sadeh. I've spent over a decade in medical device, pharma, and combination product development. Our industry feels complicated sometimes. Drugs, devices, clinical trials, submissions, sterilization, validation, design control, risk management, market access, reimbursement. The list goes on. My goal is mastery, so this podcast is to ask questions I have to people who may have the answers. Each week on the Combinate podcast, I talk to someone about their area to further understand and simplify. Whether you're a pharma person trying to understand the next wave of products, or a device person trying to navigate a pharma system you're unfamiliar with, or a newbie in both areas, I invite you to listen, and together we can simplify by combinating. I wanted to discuss with Jim the beautiful world of audits, and it seems that audits have been a big part of your life for the last years.
They have been, and I think one of the things that's always, probably 7 years ago when I came to RX360, I like to describe it as I knew enough to be dangerous when it came to the world of audits, and being able to grow and watch the RX360 joint audit program evolve has been incredibly exciting, and being able to look at it on a daily basis and see the difference that it's making for not only industry, but patients is incredibly inspiring. It's a credit to the RX360 membership as well as our internal team that works on it.
Before you got into this specific kind of role, you were more product focused.
I was. I worked many years in the medical device diagnostic space. And I'll tell anybody, I think that this role that I've taken on as CEO of RX360 has been the greatest 7 years of my career. It's really, again, been incredibly exciting.
What about it?
Just working, being able to get up every single morning and know that I'm working with the top pharmaceutical companies in the world and their suppliers make sure that the medicines that that patients use are safe, to make sure that the materials that go into those medicines are safe, and to really also allow for the members themselves, because RX360 is a nonprofit, we work with our members every day, and to be able to facilitate them sharing ideas to make sure that best practices come to fruition is, again, just so powerful. And it's really, for lack of a better term, really neat to just sit back and watch.
You know, a lot of the commercial folks that I've spoken to who have been product people, just this is my perception, I could be completely wrong, would have balked at the idea of like being so regulatory compliance focused. Was it something that you were like, I don't know, it sounds like it'll be cool, let me give it a try, and it ended up working out? Or were you all in from the jump?
So some of the people that influenced me in the early days of RX360, you really provided that vision for me. And Martin Van Trieste was one, Tim Valco, who used to be at Amgen, Lucy Cabral from Roche. They all played a really big part in me seeing what RX360 was all about.
Diving into audits, where did the idea of the, I want to call it universal audit, interchangeable audit, I don't know what the appropriate term is, but the one company, one audit. I know, yeah, like on the medical, you mentioned medical devices, IVDs, being your background. MDSAP does that on the regulator side, but you've mimicked it on the industry side.
Yeah, so RX360 uses what's known as a joint audit model or joint audit program. It's a term that we've trademarked over the years. And really what that is defined as is the ability for multiple organizations to sponsor an audit. And then once that audit is completed, allowing the industry to license that audit report if it fits their needs internally. So it really is a joint endeavor amongst sponsors, auditees, and potential organizations that license that audit report. So it really is a joint venture amongst people in the industry.
What does the process typically look like for getting a joint audit like that set up?
So it's
audits for individual companies, getting them set up with one supplier is
I'll give you the 30,000 foot 30-second overview on the pieces of the puzzle, because we could probably talk the next 6 hours on all the intricacies. But really, the way it works is we have a wonderful team internally here in RX360, and one of our members will call up and say, "Hey, we'd like for RX360 to audit XYZ facility for us. We'd like to use it's an audit for APIs. So we'd like to go in and do an API audit at XYZ facility." And part of that process is they may look at us and say, "We'd love to be able to have a couple sponsors join in with us to do that audit." And what that does is it allows those three sponsors then to split the cost of the audit. So their cost burden for the audit itself goes down. So what we will try to do is match up that primary sponsor, the person that made the inquiry, with some of our other members to get a consortium of three organizations. We'll solidify a date with that supplier. We'll work with the sponsor to select an appropriate auditor that we utilize. And once the audit is scheduled, we then have that audit report written up. And one of the things that we like about the way that we do our audit report is the quality that goes behind the development of that final audit report. Both the sponsors as well as the auditee get an opportunity to look at a draft report to make sure it's correct from a technical perspective, as well as to make sure that everybody's on the same page in regards to what the outcome is. And then once that report is final, all the sponsors will get it. The auditee will get a copy, and a copy will go into the RX360 library, which will be available then for the industry to license. So that's in a 30-second overview of what's involved in an RX360 joint audit.
Who participates as the lead auditor?
Meaning the person that actually goes in there and does the audit? Or
with audit reports, there's typically a lot of deliberation about what constitutes a critical, major, minor finding and things like that. And so typically you'll have maybe one lead auditor and sometimes one or two provisional auditors.
Yeah, so We do it where we actually will assign an auditor. We'll actually not only assign an auditor, that's a third party, non-biased, that will go in and do the audit. So it is not like an auditor from one of the sponsors. It's a third party independent auditor that goes in. And that's kind of part of the reason or the background behind the viewing of the draft report. And then those sponsors, once they see if there are any observations, have the ability to classify them based on their internal metrics. If the auditor does find something that's in critical, we get back to the sponsors within 24 hours to make sure that they recognize that there may be something critical that was discovered.
Do the sponsors attend the audit as well, or they're receiving their no?
Yeah, they do not.
And so what about audit scoping?
So we actually, one of the wonderful things about RX360 and the idea of being a consortium is we use a series of audit checklists. We have, I think, 9 or 10 audit checklists that we utilize now that are all member developed. So they're all developed by our members using standards that are out there in the industry. I like to think that our audit checklists are a combination of all the great audit checklists that are out there. And so what happens is that audit checklist is utilized for the specified audit. The sponsors themselves, though, also get the ability to ask for special requests. Those are done in a confidential manner. And so if there's multiple sponsors on an audit, they won't have visibility to those special requests because obviously a lot of it would be proprietary. So RX360 goes out of our way to work with the audity and the sponsors to make sure everybody's confidentiality is protected.
Now,
put some clarity around that, the sponsors themselves of the audit don't even know who each other are.
And so they're not communicating. The meeting point is that independent auditor.
Yep.
Okay. And so you all are a non-for-profit organization.
We are.
From your perspective, are you a supplement or a replacement to companies' audit programs? Because I think that's everything that you're saying is all good and well. But for example, if something is like every company has different tiering, but let's say something is the highest tier, highest risk, producing multiple products, or it's multiple facilities or something like that, you know, somebody may say, we don't want to do a third party.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And what I would tell you is it depends on the audit sponsor or the user of the program. I would suggest that if you look at the audits that RX360 does, you can use the word supplement. Every pharmaceutical company in probably the world has their own internal team. They also use their own third-party organizations. We're a piece of that pie. And so I like to think that that the members of RX360 will utilize us. Are we set up to be a replacement? We are. In practice, though, when you look at how sponsors and suppliers want to diversify the way that they do their audits, it makes sense that we're just a piece of that pie.
Yeah. What about how have regulators, purchasing control, supplier management are a really important part of the quality system regulations, ICH guidelines, and that, and the evaluation of suppliers is where audits fit in. How have regulators across the board viewed the use of these kinds of audits? Do you have any visibility to that?
Just from a standpoint of expressing relationships that we have with regulators around the world, as well as anybody, regulators aren't going to come out, give a golden blessing to an organization that does. But one of the things that I like to measure is the regulatory authorities around the world know who RX360 is. They knew what our joint audit program is. And I actually am constantly getting questions from them on how our program works. So that says to me that there's interest, there's feedback, and our members, I do know, utilize them in submissions, and feedback we've gotten is always good. So to me, it's more of a, I would be worried if the regulatory authorities of the world didn't know about the RX360 joint audit program, but they do. So that's a good thing.
Sure. What about reevaluation? So audits are not a one and done activity. They're done on a frequency and, you know, what one company considers a 1 year frequency, another company may consider a 2 year frequency in that. And so how do you manage that?
Well, we're almost in a different world now than maybe we were pre-pandemic. During the pandemic, we moved into this realm of a lot of remote audits. And coming out of that, what I've seen is different organizations. And when I say different organizations, pharmaceutical companies, but different organizations almost adopt different standards when it comes to cadence of those audits. We have some organizations that we work with as part of our membership that look at us and say, we did a remote audit during the pandemic. We want to go back in immediately because it's been a while since we've been in person. So we've actually seen a tightening of what maybe was the old every third year model. I see a lot more audits now being done every other year. Coming out of the pandemic, I see, especially for tier one suppliers, I see a lot of annual audits happening. But the cadence has been a little bit different. It was very predictable pre-pandemic where you could almost say, yeah, the industry standard is every 3 years. But I've seen that change a lot post-pandemic.
Expertise is, at least on the medical device side, competency and expertise is important. We mentioned it before we recorded. I don't know that we actually talked about it as we were recording, but maybe actually talk about how companies evaluate RX360's ability to conduct audits.
So I'll answer this in two ways. And this is the first part is, I think what's very unique to RX360 about being a nonprofit member-driven consortium is our members actually come in and audit RX360 in regards to, are we doing things correctly from a quality management system standpoint? So I think that's one of the wonderful things that the consortium brings. And anybody can actually get that quote audit report about RX360 because they need that to say that check the boxes that it's okay to use RX360. So we get that internal audit done by our members. That's number one. The other thing too that I think is really important to understand is as part of the process, I gave you that 30-second overview before, the audit sponsors have the ability to choose the auditor that fits their needs the best. So it's not uncommon for a primary sponsor of an RX360 audit to take a look at the CV of an auditor and say, they don't quite exactly fit the type of auditor that we want for this. Can you go find another one? And we will. So that's one of the things where I think RX360 has grown over the last, let's just call it 4 years, is our breadth of auditors has really allowed our sponsors to narrow in the exact type of auditor that they feel will make the audit most successful.
And that's where I was going with the question. If, for example, I was large pharma company Y, and I said I wanted to sponsor an API audit for vendor X, and you came back and you said, we're going to have our best auditor on this, Subi. I would look and be like, Subi's not an API person at all, right? And so it's easy to do that internal, but I was wondering what that looks like if you're working with a sponsor in that way.
Yeah, so that's really what it comes down to is we would provide that CV to the sponsors and they would be able to say, okay, yes, that's the right person we want. Or hey, RX360, can you go find another one?
Yeah. So that kind of goes to the demonstrating competence of the person doing the evaluation. What challenges have you seen with this? There's obviously clear benefit, especially, so you have a repository as well, right?
We do. And so every audit that RX360 conducts, the final audit report, minus the special request that the sponsors make, goes into our license library. And these aren't what I would describe as shared audit reports, which I know is a common term in the industry. They're more licensable audit reports. And what I mean by a license is it's someone in the industry, another company could call RX 360, express that they are interested in an audit report for X supplier. And there's very kind of restrictive covenants around how that audit report can be used. It can't be used outside of their company umbrella. So they can't, if pharmaceutical company A licensed an audit report from RX 360, they couldn't share it with pharmaceutical company B just because they're good friends with or something like that. So we have tight covenants around that. And that really becomes an advantage too for the auditee or the supplier, because one of the challenges I think in the industry right now when it comes to audits, a lot of times we pay attention to what's going on with the sponsor end, right? But really there's some significant challenges that I think the RX 360 joint audit program helps with when it comes to the auditee or supplier. I talk to suppliers all the time, and one of the things that I hear
every day they're getting requests.
I'll never forget this. I think it was maybe 3 years ago. I had a supplier say to me, and this is maybe like March, right? They said to me, "Jim, I don't have a calendar day left in the rest of the year to host an audit." And that's reality, right? That's reality, because the number of customer relationships is through the roof right now. And so our ability to license out those audit reports helps the supplier or auditee, because it cuts down on calendar days that they need for an on-site audit. So that's been really successful as part of the process too, when it comes to that joint model.
And so the distinction is shared audits versus licensed?
Yeah, I think that is a distinction that needs to be called out a lot in the industry.
If I understood it correctly, sorry. If I'm an OEM, let's say, and I had a third party come in and do a generic audit of, using Pareto principle, the 90% of the quality system that everybody's going to want to look at, and I used a well-known third-party auditing organization, and I said, "Hey, you can come visit us, or I can just give you this report of an audit that was done by a third party a month ago." That would be something that's a shared audit. A licensed audit is something that, to your point, is sponsored, but can be used by, it's not self-inflicted and I control.
It's just not shared openly. One of the great things about the idea of a licensable audit report is we actually cannot provide that audit report to a requester unless the supplier tells us it's okay. So we actually will sign
right?
So if somebody calls up RX 360 and says, "Hey, I'd like to acquire a license for XYZ audit report," our first step, besides all the confidentiality paperwork that'll have to be signed, is to actually reach out to that auditee or supplier and ask their permission and get their permission in writing.
So once the audit is complete, it's not carte blanche to share it with whoever's in the consortium. They have to approve the individual companies in the consortium, even if they're already part of it.
Yep.
If they weren't part of the sponsoring to begin with.
Yeah. Every audit report has to be given permission before we can release it.
So the challenges with audits, we talked a little bit about the finding days. I think that is a big challenge. What else?
I'll speak to RX 360 since I live it every day. Is I just think the up education of this idea of joint auditing it continues to evolve. And to me, that's one of the really, I think, things that we can still have an impact on is really up educating everyone in the industry on the value of these type of reports or this type of a model. Because it's amazing. I'll have a conversation with somebody and in many cases, I'll ask them to describe to me almost, "Hey, talk to me about what we do from a joint auditing standpoint." And the awareness sometimes can be a little bit different. So I think being able to streamline that awareness and up educate people on the joint audit model might be one of our, I will say, fun challenges, because I think everybody at RX 360 loves educating people. That's kind of part of being a nonprofit. But from a challenge perspective, I think a lot of the challenges just might come from a standpoint of connecting all those dots, finding that appropriate auditor, finding that day to go in, or 2 days or 3 days to go in and do the audit on site, getting all the sponsors together. When we are working with one sponsor and they say to us, hey, we'd like to get two other ones, going out and finding those two. But as I will sit here for the last 7 years and watch the RX360 program evolve, that's one of the things that I love to now brag about, to say, hey, we've gotten really good at that. Although they're challenges, they're checkbox type of things that we've gotten really good at.
Yeah. The longer you do something, the more efficient you end up becoming at it. Can you talk about the consortium work? Because I think we talked about the audit piece is a non-insignificant part of what RX360 does, but then there's other stuff around supply chain security, consortium work groups, and stuff like that is basically.
I think the biggest way, the best way to really look at it from a perspective of what else do we do besides the joint audit program is, I always describe it as member engagement. And there's a lot of things that we do when it comes to member engagement. We have working groups amongst all of our members. Those working groups can range from supply chain security. They can supply chain security focused on logistics, data integrity. We have one group that specifically works with cell and gene therapy. We have another group that's wrapped around supplier quality. And then we have many international groups. We have a Latin America group that's incredibly robust. We have a European group. We have a conjoined group that covers like Asia Pacific, Middle East, Africa, and India. So we really, and the one thing I always describe to people, because I think this is a testament to our membership. None of these working groups or the topics that the working groups work on, the publications that they put out that you can see on our website and that type of thing, none of those are like Jim Freeze sitting in his office coming up with an idea. It truly is member driven. And all these working groups were ideas of members. And that's really, it's just not a tagline when we say that RX360 is member driven. It really is how we operate.
Can you hone in on maybe the supply chain security part? My understanding on the history, maybe, and it could be wrong, is that supply chain security was the impetus for starting RX360.
It was. If you go back many years ago, for people that have been around for a long time, there was a major contamination with the world supply of heparin. People died. And really, that was the launching point of interaction over the heparin incident with the FDA as to where RX360 was really born. And even to this day, that original RX360 working group, which is known as the Supply Chain Security Steering Committee, still exists today and incredibly robust. It's expanded and we have more and more people that are members that get involved in that group. But really, that is where we started. And then, but if you look at the RX360 mission, which is based around supply chain integrity, material quality, patient safety, that's where, after the birth of RX360, a few years later, they started to think about the joint audit program and how that fits and those type of things. So we've really evolved from that initial stage, but it continues to be our backbone and it continues to be what we're all about.
Of RX360, I know your background prior to starting in RX360, you were involved in products. Is RX360 kind of the main thing you're working on right now?
Oh, this is all I do. I'm the CEO of RX360 and 20 hours a day. This is how I live. So I think, live and breathe the RX360 mission. And I've said this to many people, I can't imagine being anywhere else right now and working on a mission like this. It just is incredibly impactful every day to work with leaders in industry from different companies on a daily basis, where everybody is going after the common goal. And it's just, it's incredibly energizing every day. Not a single day is the same.
Yeah. You've talked a couple of times about the working with great people in industry. And this is just a perception thing. I could be wrong. As far as like this kind of initiative, starting it requires a lot of self-belief, I feel like. And it's not anybody that can start something that establishes its way with some sort of legitimacy. And you just seem like a well-networked person. And I'm wondering what kind of lessons you've gotten along. Any tips and tricks with that?
Yeah. I will tell you that probably the tip or trick.
If I can just jump in with one. I'm looking at your podcast, right? And I have your podcast. It's called the RX360 Patient Safety Podcast. And I've had some guests on, one or two guests on that have been on your show, right? But I'm something like 120 plus episodes in. And so a few years to be able to build up to get to, and your first six, it's like the president of USP, the president of ASQ, New York Times bestselling author, deputy commissioner, FDA, right? That's like you're pulling people that you already know. And so that's why I wanted to ask the question.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've learned and evolved since I've been in this role, and really it's even before this role, is number one, listening to the experts. And when you listen first, it allows you some insight into their core experience, which makes you better, and then allows you to build those relationships and build out that network. And the other thing is too, that I think is incredibly important that maybe not everybody subscribes to all the time, is besides listening, don't be scared to ask a question. Don't be scared to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, I think people are still of the mindset that if you ask them a question or if you ask them for help in understanding something, they're going to help you. And RX360 for me is the perfect example of that, because I think we started when we were discussing, when I started RX360 over 7 years ago, I wasn't Mr. Quality Audit, but it was our membership that really up-educated me in regards to, again, how the mission worked, how quality audits work, how these topical working groups work. So it was really, I think allowing ourselves to be educated is really the key to growth. And that's just not in our industry, it's for anything.
Yeah, there's that really famous story that Steve Jobs talks about when he was a summer in high school or middle school or something like that. And he calls one of the heads of AI, right? And
his phone number was in the phone book.
Yeah, he's like, I called him and he sent me some parts for me to work on. And then I got an internship. And it's just a lot of people ask me, like, how do you find guests? And are you plucking at straws? And I'm like, I mean, it's like one out of two people I ask says they'll do the podcast. It's not like, it's not like I have to ask 20 people for them to say yes.
Right.
And I think there's a perception that things are a lot more difficult as far as networking goes. But anything practical as far as building those kinds of connections?
I think just from a practicality standpoint, it is just, I tell people on our internal team this all the time, is sometimes you don't understand how the simplest conversation is relationship building. And sometimes we take an email for granted. Sometimes we take a 2-minute phone call for granted. Those are all relationship building things. And that's one of the things why I think RX360 has evolved so much, is not taking those little snippets in time for granted. Is everything you do is has an impact. Everything you do is a relationship built. And if you look at it from that perspective and you value each little segment of communication, it's just all going to be success-based at the bottom, at the end.
Yeah, there's that famous quote of, when I look at the little things, I'm convinced that there's no such thing as a little thing because it's all important. And in fact, most of the time, it's those little interactions that end up mattering more than the... I think it's one of those conundrums in life where, like, you think I need to spend 4 hours talking to a person, but rather a few consistent is more important. Where can people find you, Jim?
So the easiest way is, I tell everybody, don't hesitate to go on the RX360 website. My email's on there, www.rx360.org. And it's just really a plethora of information that is really geared towards patient safety in the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. This was awesome.
Thank you.